following is a message given in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, September 25th, 2016, by Brother Ricky Acaster. The title of the message is "The Breastplate, the Central and Ultimate Point of the Priesthood." The scripture verses are Exodus chapter 28, verses 15 to 21, 29 to 30, Numbers chapter 27, verses 15 to 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3.
Hearts to you. We give ourselves to you. We open to your word. We treasure your word. We live by every word from your mouth. Your word is our food. Your word is our light. Oh, we love you and we love your word. So we pray, speak again this morning through your word and also through your body. Lord, we just give you the first place in this time. We love you, dear Lord Jesus. Amen. These many months, we have been studying the book of Exodus, and particularly in the second half of this book, there is much focus on the matter of the tabernacle, God's house. But if, as you follow the record in Exodus and in our study these last couple of weeks, there is a kind of a turn or an insertion concerning the matter of the priesthood, concerning the priesthood or the priests. And specifically, there is a long portion concerning their garments. And we want to see the significance of this matter, the importance of this matter, and also how it relates to our present experience. Because we've seen time and time again, we've repeated that from the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 10, it makes it very clear that all the things that occurred there to the children of Israel, all those things that are recorded in the Old Testament, they happened as examples, and they are written for our admonition, for our learning and for our admonition. And also in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul uses the things of the Old Testament to show that so many things there are types of Christ. Types of Christ, not merely in an objective sense, but also in a very, very applicable and subjective sense to us, the New Testament Christians. And so, in this matter of the priests and the garments, we see that actually the focal point, the central point, is this matter of the breastplate. The breastplate. And I don't know how many of us have delved into this too much. I was happy that this study that we had in the crystallization training focused on this to give us the opportunity to get into this and dig a little bit more to see what is here. You know, firstly, let me say, or point out again, as has been pointed out in the prior weeks, without the priests, without the proper persons, the tabernacle is not functional. God did not just have this physical structure there. He had some persons who were serving there. And in the New Testament, we see that the house and the priests are one. That is that we, the New Testament church, we are God's house and we also are God's priests. But we must have this aspect of the priesthood. The priesthood. To have just the house is not enough. God needs the priests to make the things in the tabernacle functional. And the priests cannot serve unless they are properly attired. So there's an emphasis on the clothing or the garments of the priests. And the priest has a long robe, and actually very significant. Nothing of the flesh shows. Long robe. Then he wears a tunic. A tunic. It's hard to say exactly the measurements of the tunic, but actually, maybe not too different from this kind of jacket, right? This kind of jacket. Something not all the way down. There's a tunic. And then there's something called an ephod. That's actually a mystery in itself, an ephod. And we don't have our own English word for this. This is a transliteration from the Hebrew text, ephod. And this word ephod means binding or fastening. Binding or fastening, you know, connecting, linking, right? And then, so the ephod was a smaller attire, kind of like a vest, kind of like a vest. And then there was this breastplate, which it's described in the scripture, we read a span, which is whatever a person's hand, not an exact measurement. It says it's a span, actually very meaningful. Because it says in the New Testament that we are held in his hand, right? No one can snatch us out of his hand, right? So the span with his hand is unlimited. But anyway, the measurement is about a span, so it's about this big. And it's square, right? So about like that. And the priest would wear this. And this was fastened to the ephod. Right. Fastened to the ephod. And also on this ephod, there were two shoulder plates. I think sometimes in the military, some of the officers wear something here, right? And they have sometimes stripes and stars. It looks something like that. And those were also fastened to the ephod and also connected to this breastplate. Oh, what is all this? This is a real mystery. And then of course he had a turban. He had something for his head. Saints, all these things are so meaningful. I feel like we've barely scratched the surface. Of course, we're focusing on the breastplate. Then on the breastplate, there were stones, 12 stones, right? Of course, in the New Testament, we didn't read the verses this morning. Lots of talk about the stones. You know, when the Lord met Peter, he told him, your name, he was introduced as Simon. He said, no more, your name is now Cephas. Cephas, which interpreted means a stone. You're a stone. And later in the book of Matthew, he incorporates that stone is something for God's building because he's going to build something. And then Peter was so impressed that in his epistle, he says, you also as living stones. So when it talks about that, the high priest, who is a picture of Christ, has the breastplate, and on the breastplate has 12 stones. And on the stones, engraved there are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So the high priest, whenever he would come into the tabernacle and come into the Holy of Holies, he would bear these stones on his breast. Actually, it says in Exodus that he was to bear it on his heart. So whenever the high priest would come to God in the tabernacle, he had the names on his heart, right? And actually also the two stones here, onyx stones, they also had the names. So the names are here and the names are here. I'll come back to this in a moment. I think there's much to appreciate in this picture. But not only so, these stones were set there. It says they were in enclosures. That means they couldn't fall out. They were there. They were They were there set in enclosures, four rows of three. And we read all the different stones, and I have to admit, that part, I have never delved that deeply into this part of the significance of all the stones. It would be interesting to know the colors. What is the color pattern? I think even that would give us some impression of something. But you know, there's another place where there are 12 stones, right? 12 precious stones. That's in the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem has a foundation of 12 precious stones. So there's a kind of pointing there from this breastplate, kind of pointing to the New Jerusalem. Even this, very, very significant. And then these stones with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There's this study. We've talked about this in the training, and we've mentioned in the past, and if some have read the life study, you may know about this. This rabbi, David Baron, wrote an article, and it's entitled The Ancient Scriptures and the Modern Jew. The Ancient Scriptures and the Modern Jew. And in this, he talks about these two other pieces that were added. And that is these two, maybe difficult for us to pronounce. It's the Urim and the Thummim. The Urim and the Thummim. Two other things that were added to the breastplate once it was made. These two were added, the Urim and the Thummim. And on the breastplate, with the stones, as I mentioned, each stone was engraved with a name of the 12 tribes. So there was one stone there that said Judah, and another stone that said Simeon, and another, so on, Levi and the 12 tribes. And in this study, Baron points out that when you have all these names, 18 of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet appear among these 12 names. You understand? When you write all the names don't encompass the entire alphabet in the Hebrew alphabet. But these two added things are the Urim, which means light. In Hebrew, this word means light or illuminator, and was probably then a light source that contained some oil, and it was burning. Now, how they managed that, I don't know how they could manage. But this, they would insert this Urim there into the breastplate, and light would shine through the stones. My. What kind of a sight? Wouldn't you want to see that sight? See the high priest come in, and oh, I would just like, if it was we today, we'd all be taking the pictures. All of us would be taking the picture. Hold on, walk slower, please, Aaron, wait. Turn around so we could take some pictures. Wouldn't that be something to see how that illuminates? That illuminates. But not only the Urim, there was a thummim. And the thummim, this word means perfecter or completer. So Baron points this out, that probably this had the extra four missing letters that were not comprised in the stones. And so, when you put it all together, when you add the perfecter, then it's complete, and all the letters are there, and then God, somehow he spoke through a kind of illuminating combined with darkening of these 22 letters, like a heavenly typewriter. You know, we read this portion. I wonder if you could bring, brothers, the portion in Numbers. Let's look at this for a moment. You know, Moses We touched on this several weeks ago in chapter 33. Moses, God spoke with Moses face to face, like as a man speaks to his companion. God met Moses and spoke to him, and that speaking became the leading for God's people. But here we have a kind of transfer. A transfer. We have a kind of passing the baton from Moses to Joshua, who became the leader of God's people. And here it says, and Moses spoke to Jehovah, saying, let Jehovah, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the assembly. So Moses is asking the Lord, Lord, you have to appoint someone who will go out before them and who will come in before them and who will lead them out and who will bring them in so that the assembly, I want to direct your attention to this last phrase, the assembly of Jehovah will not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. And he was concerned that now he's going to be out of the way, but God's people still need a shepherd. There still need to be shepherds. Not just a leader, but a shepherd. There needs to be shepherds to take the people on. And then, here, and Jehovah said to Moses, Jehovah answered Moses, take Joshua. You know, Joshua had been one all the time following Moses. Right? All the time. Even there, when we saw the account when God called Moses up, Joshua followed, right? Not all the way up to the mountain, but Joshua was there with him, half, you know, with the elders and so on in that picture in Exodus 24 and 5. It says, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before the whole assembly, and give him a charge in their sight. Now, 20 and 21 are the key verses here. You shall put some of your honor upon him so that the whole assembly of the children of Israel may obey him. Now, notice here, it says, here's Joshua. He's going to be the leader, actually a shepherd. So you have to obey him. Obey him. So somewhat he's putting Joshua as the leader. But actually, in a good sense, Joshua is not really the leader. Why? Because, how about, let's read 21 again together. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, and he shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before Jehovah. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him. So here we see that the way Joshua was supposed to lead was in coordination with Eleazar the priest. And he shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim. So actually, when there needed to be a leading for God's people, Joshua had to go to the priest. And the priest needed to read the Urim. Read the judgment of the Urim before Jehovah. So they had to go to the heavenly typewriter. God would not speak. God would not just speak. Maybe in the Holy of Holies, from there between the cherubim. He wouldn't speak from there. He would speak through the breastplate. And it says, inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim. And the breastplate is called the breastplate of judgment. But saints, we shouldn't take this word judgment in too narrow an understanding. You know, a judgment can be understood as a decision. You know, when our court system, when there's a case, it comes before the judge, eventually a judgment is made, either by the jury or the judge. One way or the other. And the judgment is a leading. So this breastplate, although it did it was applied in cases of that kind of judgment, like we see probably this is how Achan was picked, you know, in Judges, after the victory at Jericho. There was one man who did something, Achan. And because of what he did, Israel lost the blessing. And so the Lord spoke to his Joshua that there was some reason here, so they had to inquire. And in Judges, there was this kind of practice. And first, Judah was taken. How is it that they knew that Judah, there was someone within the tribe of Judah? Probably. This is what Barron says. This is what also, it seems to make sense. That they went to Eliezer, and of the 12 stones, Judah. Maybe if they were all lit up, because they were all lit up with the Urim, maybe Judah darkened. They know, oh, it's Judah. So they called Judah, sent everybody away. Then maybe there was the letters to show the next, it was the Zerahites. There was a certain family. And then maybe all the other families within Judah were sent away, just they were picked. And then another within that, Zabdi. So then now it's more specific. And then again another exercise, and Achan's name was there. And right away, of course, he confessed. Do you see, you really needed patience to get God speaking. Needed a heart of seeking and a patient heart. Sometimes when we pray, we want to know, we're anxious over, oh, I think you would never get God speaking that way. You need to, it says, inquire of Jehovah and take some time to be before the Lord and allow Him to speak letter by letter, letter by letter. So this was not only for this judgment in Judges, but maybe also the way we see in other portions how the children of Israel were together and they needed to know which of the tribes should go to fight first. And there's actually in Judges 1 opens this way, where the children of Israel are together and they're wondering who should go up to fight. And says Jehovah says, Judah goes first. How could they know that? Most likely this way. They went to the priest and Judah. There was this speaking. So do you see, this was really a theocracy. Here you have a leader, but this leader is under the headship. This leader is not the source of the leading. This leader, Joshua, was before the Lord, actually before the priests, and there was a coordination, and the leading came from the Lord through the leader. Then he would speak what it was. What a beautiful picture of the leading. What a beautiful picture of fellowship. When we have something to decide, that none of us would be the source of the decision. But we go to the Lord, and then the Lord speaks through the breastplate. We'll talk about what that exactly means. And then we carry out according to the leading. But I want to say something first about the 12 stones in the enclosures. No doubt this breastplate is related to the matter of the Lord's guidance, the Lord's leading for His people. It's not just for the matter of judgment in the narrow sense, but a matter of the Lord's leading. And you know, dear saints, all of us, I think we pray to seek the Lord for his leading, for our situation, for our families. We seek the Lord for our services in the church life, what we should do, how we should carry out. We seek the Lord's leading for the group, for our group meeting. We seek the Lord's leading for the districts and the direction that we should go. Even in the church at large, we're at Tuesday night, as we're praying, actually, we're facing the breastplate. On one hand, we are there at the incense altar. And on the another hand, we're there before the Lord, that he would even speak through the prayer. And these days, as the Lord is spreading, as the Lord is moving in so many districts, we do need the Lord's leading in many specific areas. How can we have the Lord's leading? Well, I would say, first, we have to realize that we are those stones in the enclosures on the breastplate, which is fastened to the high priest. So when we pray, saints, even when we pray personally for our own situation, and we're praying for some leading, specific leading, maybe it's really quite urgent and serious, we shouldn't pray in anxiety. We should pray with the full realization, I am on the Lord's heart. And the Lord is bearing me on his shoulders. I'm written there. I'm even inscribed there. And you know, the breastplate is fastened to the ephod. Saints, we are fastened to the Lord. We're fastened to the Lord. When we pray, we should never pray doubting. Never pray doubting. Even when we're praying for the church. You know, something came out in the message, in the training, and also in the life study message. I think many saints were touched by that with this darkening of the letters, as the priest is looking at the ephod, darkening of the letters, that could also imply that in the darkened situation, the Lord still speaks. The Lord still speaks. And even through the darkened situation, the Lord could speak. Just as an example, the Apostle Paul, when he was ministering to the churches, he would receive news from saints, and then he would write something. How would he know what to write? In a sense, he was reading the saints. He was reading the ones who contacted him. Maybe they're the shining ones. They're, you know, if everything is all shining or everything is all dark, if there's no contrast, then there's no message. So if, suppose the shining ones, they contact him. But Paul would read the whole situation, the shining ones and the dark situation. And through that, he would know how to minister Christ to that particular situation. But saints, I would say, even in the midst of the negative situation, we should always realize we are fastened to the Lord. We're on his heart, and he's bearing us on his shoulders. No matter what we're going through, we may be focused on the Lord's leading. Lord, what should I do? What should I do? But actually, it's hard for us to know the Lord's leading if we don't have the faith. We don't have the assurance, Lord, I'm in your hand. I'm even in your heart. And you're bearing me on your shoulders. And even when the church may be passing through something, we have to realize, Lord, it seems like the gates of Hades is operating, is moving, but I take your promise. The gates of Hades will not prevail. Lord, your church is on your heart. You are bearing your church. You are there interceding for your church. So saints, we should never lose heart. And we should never allow the enemy to bring us into anxiety. We're fastened. We're fastened in the enclosures on the Lord's heart. Also, I'd like to point out, if this breastplate is really a picture of the church. It's really a picture of the church. God speaks through the church. Because the breastplate is made up of the stones, right? But not individual stones. It's not separate stones. The stones are all composed together. They're put together. And this implies the building. And when we have some builded up saints who let the light shine, the Lord will speak. And I would say, saints, we are so blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed in the church. Even in all the local churches, we're blessed to have saints who are built. And saints who are not only built, transformed, precious stones. And not only precious, but also transparent. You know, if the stones were opaque, how could the light shine? So there needs to be the transparency. And then there needs to be the light. There needs to be the light. And so we let the light shine. We let the light shine. So saints, when we are in the situation where we need the Lord's leading, we should go to the church. We should go to the church, go for fellowship. And we can read. We can read. The Lord speaks to us through the shining of the saints. You know, yesterday we had a conference, a one-day conference at Camp Penuel for the young working saints and the young couples, the young families. And I really enjoyed several of the testimonies that some of the saints shared. And a couple of the testimonies, they were concerning where to live. Saints were considering purchasing a home, like their first home. You know, after they were married, they were living in an apartment, they had one or two children, now they're looking to the Lord for the next stage of their lives, and so now they're seeking the Lord's will, like this. Other testimonies were concerning the job situation, what kind of job, even the job pursuit, career pursuit. And I was touched with a couple of testimonies. One brother told us how it was time for them. They needed a larger place because also not only to take care of their children, but he has the feeling to take care of his parents. His parents are older, so they like to have room for them, and so they need a larger place. So they started to look. They started to look here, they started to look there, and then they came for fellowship. They came for fellowship. And through the fellowship, there was a particular leading. Oh, not according to their concept. Not according to their concept. To go somewhere, actually, not closer to all the saints here, but further away, actually to the upstate area. Because the Lord wants to move in that area. Our brother just announced to you on October 23rd, we're going to have the first Lord's Table meeting in the Mid-Hudson Valley region. Praise the Lord for this. But how can we have that? Actually, we can have that because some saints have been following the Lord's leading. They've been following the speaking of the breastplate. So this dear family, as well as a few others, these testimonies were precious. They had a personal decision concerning their family, their children, even their house, where to buy a house. But they didn't make this decision apart from the church. And it's not that the church controls or tells people where to go or move. No, not like this. Don't misunderstand. But there is a speaking through the church. There is a leading through the church. There's a shining through the church. And these dear ones, thank the Lord, they had the grace to follow this leading. Actually, our brother testified, already what a blessing has come to him and to his family through following the Lord's leading. At first, not so many people there. We're used to have a kind of a secure church life situation with so many saints, and now the Lord is leading in that direction. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Already the Lord has confirmed that leading. And there's a situation that now we're going to start the Lord's Table meeting. That's precious. In 1 year, how much the Lord can do. Another testimony also struck me was a sister. She was considering her career path. And then she also came for some fellowship. And the Lord shined through that fellowship. That her career could be something that the Lord could use eventually for the service with the children. And also, she confessed to us, she did not have that in her mind. That was not her concept. She was in this career with a certain trajectory, with a certain goal, and even, I dare say, self-glory. There was this kind of trajectory. But when she came for fellowship and opened to the fellowship, there was some speaking as she read the saints. Actually, in that fellowship, she didn't agree with the fellowship. She told us. She didn't agree with the fellowship, but she didn't say anything. She didn't react. She didn't react negatively. She just took it in. She just took it in. And later on, the Lord confirmed this leading, right? The leading that she got from the body, from the church. So, saints, the Lord speaks to us. The Lord speaks to us through the other members. But, the Lord speaks. The Lord speaking has to come through what? The precious stones. The transformed ones. The inscribed ones. You know, the stones have letters. If the stone is blank, there can only be general speaking. There can't be specific speaking. There can be specific speaking only if we have all the letters. And it says, you know, we read in 2 Corinthians 3 that you are our letters, right? Inscribed not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Daily, the Lord is working on us. Actually, He's working on us to inscribe Himself into us so that we could be part of that breastplate. That the Lord could speak through us to shine out to others. So saints, we need the shining. We need the shining. But if we don't have enough of the Lord's working on us, inscribing Himself into us, actually, we can be only a general encouragement to others. We may not be able to have a clear presentation or ministry of Christ to others. So we need to allow the Lord to inscribe Himself into each of our hearts. And that's why, saints, again, for this, every day counts. Because every hour of every day, the Spirit is within us operating, wanting to that Christ would make His home in our hearts. And as he's inscribing, He's adding Himself to us. You know, inscribing is not like what we have with an ink and pen. Inscribing is a kind of cutting. You know, cutting hurts. Of course, the stones are stone. Stones are stone. Stones don't say ouch. But when the Lord, in reality, is inscribing Himself into us, sometimes there's a cutting. There has to be a cutting away of the flesh, a cutting away of our preference, a cutting away of our opinion, so that the Lord can add Himself to us. But the more we allow the Lord in His grace to add Himself to us this way, saints, we can be part of that built-up breastplate, part of God's speaking. We can be a factor for God's speaking and God's move to others. Praise the Lord for this. Saints, in these days, as the church is moving so much and spreading, we need the reality of the breastplate. We need this. The church needs this. Of course, also for our daily life, for our personal life, for our family life. As we seek the Lord for so many areas of our life, oh, that we would be open to the speaking in the body. And that we would, as these young families testified and have experienced, that we would not just make the an independent decision over things, but be open to the Lord speaking in the body. So that's as much as I'd like to share. This was very rich, and I think we spent time in this portion all week long. We just want to encourage one another to feel free to share your portion. Be the completer today. Be the completer of the sharing. I think we had all the announcements, so we can just go to our language group meetings. I just want to repeat this one announcement concerning the ushering service this afternoon, 2 p.m. 2 p.m., very important. Ushering service and those saints who serve in the preparation of the Lord's table bread. How about we sing 772? 772. As we sing, the saints can feel free to go to the various language meetings. Amen.